It is, and it's nice to have your company. Looks like a pretty nice morning in the best city in the world, too, if you're out and about. Enjoy it. Keep that radio locked to RSN 927 right now, particularly because we get to find out the latest news in the world of footy. From the Herald Sun, Scotty Gallen is back again. Good morning to you, Scotty.
Morning, Daniel. It's good to be here.
Got the Vegas Golden Knights hat on again. You're really riding that train, aren't you?
Well, you know, first year they make the granny. I'm pretty keen to stay on it.
You forgot to mention the as he walked in, well, the corporate
next.
Wear.
Yeah, that was wow. Next.
I will say it's a tad old.
That's but a Herald Sun.
Is a school photo day today?
I've got headshot day. Support my employer. Like, you don't, clearly. You're in a rival outfit.
What do you mean?
Aren't we
wearing
another
station's attire?
No, born in blue. Aren't we a certain manufacturer?
Oh, apparel partner.
Correct.
Yes. While we're the good people at Nike doing great things.
And this is not right now.
This is, in fact, a Nike top.
With three stripes on it.
It's just a different version. It's old school.
A different Adidas Nike look.
It's a retro.
Okay.
Is it Adidas or Adidas?
Adidas, with a small A. Don't put a cap A on it. I used to do that all the time. I didn't know it was a small A till about 3 years ago.
It's always a small A.
Okay. Well, I'm with you.
Adidasler.
No, we're all looking good. James has got a woolen outfit. Where does that come from?
My cupboard. Clearly, you got changed in the dark.
Mate, I get up at 2 o'clock to get here.
The Polo Fleece here on Sun Top's working a treat.
Oh, I actually do like it.
It's working a treat.
Bring one in next time for me.
Is the MRO working a treat, Scotty?
Tex Walker, too. I think that's our starting point for discussion. What are your thoughts, you learned people?
James, being a man on the panel.
It was a fairly... It ticked all the boxes. Yeah, lift, turn, all those...
Position of power.
Hurt factor.
He was concussed.
Yeah. I think two's about right.
He went to hospital that night.
Maybe three. Maybe one more for hospital visit.
So
I did see it on replay before. I saw it a few times across the weekend. But even just watching it again on replay before on one of the screens we've got up in here, he did let go. Late,
he did.
Which minimised the possibility.
But it's still part of those dangerous tackles.
No doubt he needed the whack.
Yeah, it's a sling and it's probably not a dumping or driving into the dirt.
Because there were some calls of 6+.
These are the same people calling for year bans for gaff.
Yeah, and red cards and all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
okay.
Those sort of people who are very emotionally invested at the moment and are doubling down on these type of issues. Yeah. It's absolute folly to be suggesting that's a 6-week sanction.
Of course not.
We're trying to get that out of the game, and I think a 2-week sanction for that, considering what happened. And I emphasise the point, he did let go late. Yeah,
and it's still part of the game. You're still allowed to tackle.
Yeah, just got to do it correctly. A bit like bumping.
Yep, exactly right. And it can fit in that table, and the boxes can be ticked. So
what's Nathan Brown going to get?
I was just
tonight.
About to ask the same question.
A good question.
See, I'm not... It was a bump. Yes, he got concussed. It was a bit late. I'm not as in uproar as half the population.
No, but the problem... Sorry, half to jump in. The problem they're finding is because it was so long after the ball left, they're not counting the bump as it normally is, you know, graded as careless. So they've made it intentional.
Because you've had enough time to figure it out.
Which is very rare for bumps to be intentional unless the ball is so far away.
Yes.
But one of the big questions is, did he actually get him in the head, or was it the whiplash and him hitting the head on the ground that caused...
Whiplash.
I mean, because he was not expecting contact, it was so much more dramatic than what it otherwise would have been. Because clearly it was late. Clearly it was not within the, you know...
Boundaries of fairness.
Yeah.
And it was a truck hitting a small car.
Yeah. Well, that's right, it was. But I mean, this is the whole thing. I see it as a 2-weeker. I don't see it any more than that. But it's gone straight to the tribunal.
It has to be more than three now, doesn't it?
It doesn't have to be. They can if they can successfully argue to downgrade the classifications.
Intentional to careless, yeah.
Yeah, or high to medium, or body to head, or head to body, or whatever it was.
If
they can
Chris
downgrade that.
Why can't he do this?
He could have. I think he could have. Now, he's clearly erred on the side of caution here, and I don't mind that.
I'm happy with what he's done.
Because we go to the tribunal, you get to defend yourself. You get through the system. This is why the system's, I think, working quite well. in terms of the tribunal access this year and the fact there's no threat of going and get another week or that type of thing. I quite like the fact it can go to the tribunal. I'm okay with it. Now, I would have graded it differently and got it done in the boxes.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it going to the tribunal.
What boxes are you ticking? Sorry.
Well, I had careless high and high would get in two, and I think that's about right.
Yep. I'm comfortable with that.
Yep.
But it is fascinating, Whitey, because as you say, the point of contact was shoulder to sort of shoulder front of chest region, not head. The whiplash was a result of the contact because he wasn't braced for it. But that's, you're actually saying that the impact and the contact is high and it actually wasn't.
Yeah. And
it was to the body.
And if, this will sound stupid, but because his body was floppy, for want of a better term, because he wasn't made contact. Yeah.
Relaxed.
As a result of the contact, potentially his head sort of gone into the shoulder of Brown.
Yep.
Which so he contributed to the contact even though he didn't.
So traditionally in a bump, if the ball had just been handballed out or he'd had the ball at the time, Saad, traditionally that would be incidental. That would be judged incidental contact and not the responsibility of the bumper. But because we've got this little distance issue on this incident, then that's why they've taken, I think Chris O's taken into account, that's why we got that problem with his head, because of the distance, therefore he should be held responsible for that. So it's a fascinating case. And I feel for Chris O, because some of the stuff he's had to deal with this year, we've never seen before.
No, I agree.
It's a fascinating state of the game of AFL footy at the moment.
He's made a bit of an agenda by a couple of bad errors. Like Higgins Howe set the agenda for a lot of this.
Yeah. You know,
but the problem with the Higgins Howe one is in your great paper and your award-winning articles.
Is that correct? Yes.
That you put up a, what should Brian Burton get on Higgins?
Yeah, sorry, not how.
Yeah. I knew where you're going. But, and you gave four options, and it was 25% for all four. So it depends what you're looking for and what sort of lens you're looking at.
Yeah, but I think the difference with that one is whether we, right or wrong, that it was seen that it was essentially a collision and that Burton couldn't have expected to think that there'll be high contact, whereas the one with Nathan Brown is very clear. He knew what he was trying to do.
Yeah, but
he's got to take the responsibility.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying this is the problem, and probably reiterating Half's point, the difficulty of some of these decisions that are landing on Michael Christian's desk.
It's extraordinary.
It's a difficult job to do, but you're not going to keep everyone happy, and then the people who aren't happy are going to be outraged the most.
We haven't seen an incident like that for a long time, where someone's sort of lined him up. It's almost like a lining up off the square type situation where Brown knew he was going to get him unexpectedly. He wouldn't have foreseen necessarily the damage that was caused, but it was quite dramatic.
It's only dramatic because I think we haven't seen it, as you say.
Yeah.
But everyone was talking about he took four steps. Well, he would normally still have made impact with two steps. So it's actually two steps extra than perhaps we've seen. But all of a sudden, there's this thing that is, it's 40, so late that you couldn't possibly have expected. I still think, now I'm clearly in a minority here, I still think that if you're in that situation that Saad was, you're still in the hot zone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He hadn't booted the ball 40 metres down the road. He handballed it to a bloke who was pretty close.
He had been in the play.
Yeah.
You're still in the hot zone. Now, I'm not victim blaming. I'm not trying to say it was his fault, but I think players need to still be aware that if you're in that area of where the ball is, you've got to be expecting someone to hit you at some stage.
Yeah, especially if you're
perhaps not with that intent.
Especially someone like Saad, whose game's built off run and get, sort of stuff.
The other, absolutely. It was a case to suggest that there should have been a 50-metre penalty because he was taken out of the play.
Well, that is a 50-metre penalty.
It wasn't paid. And they don't seem to be paid anymore. I thought the other interesting thing was Alan Richardson on AFL 360 on Fox Footy last night, sort of almost taking some responsibility for it, because he kind of souped up his players that we needed more physicality and we needed to, target Saad and McKenna because of what their run creates, which I thought was interesting as well.
I know what he's saying there, because when we've come up against sides who have those running halfbacks or wing-type players, we often would do drills where, you got two or three guys coming off one end of the line and they try and weave their way through, and you've got guys with bump bags on the way through. So as Half pops over the handball to Scotty, the rule, you've got to take him. He can't get it back. So bang, block. And I reckon they would have had that on the whiteboard.
No,
don't let Saad, don't let McKenna, name another one. Don't let Orazio when he's playing out there. Don't let them get it back, because it'll cut you apart.
Yeah, well, no doubt that would have been one of the absolute
targets coming into the game to stop McKenna, stop Saad, 1-2, just keep them away. Once they get rid of it, make sure they stop.
Yep.
Now, clearly,
not that
Brown's gone outside the rules to do that, and he will be sanctioned.
Has he got a contract next year?
Yeah, he has. He just signed a 1-year extension. Mm.
Good timing.
Speaking of contracts, Dylan Shields got another year to go at the GWS Giants, and I spoke to him on Sunday. He told me
he
was going to stay. RSN understands.
Well, he lies because he's currently playing, so
he will stay at the GWS Giants next season.
And you believed him?
Well, who am I to suggest he's a liar?
Did you look into his eyes when
he said
it?
No, I didn't. It was difficult down the phone line, but what do you know? What do you know?
Well, everything always leads back to Hawthorn, and everyone gets all
I'm okay with this, by the way.
Alarm bells because they go, oh, Hawthorn always get their man. Well,
haven't they still got a buddy war chest?
Yeah. So, Dylan Shield is the man, and there's a theory, Essendon and Carlton, well, these are the three he's going to choose, so poor old Carlton, no. Essendon and...
Essendon. Why not? Bound by Blue.
Surely you're right.
Surely there's some boxes to be made at Visi.
He might get some coffee discounts and 25%.
He can park in the spot next to me.
So Hawthorn...
Pick him up for training.
Because there's a theory, which I don't quite understand, that GWS have to shed a very good player for salary cap reasons.
Well, they might have a salary cap squeeze.
How have they done this? Seriously.
Because they've got a lot of really good players that aren't getting paid very much that need to start to get paid what they deserve. Hmm.
But surely there's six. I could name six who deserve to be getting paid very well there.
Yeah, and that takes a fair chunk of your cap.
Yeah, but there's a lot of clubs who pay six and then just filter the others
but
out.
I think, Scotty, it's more... So I don't want to use this player as an example, but I will... Tim Taranto, for example.
Well, I'm not paying him a lot of money.
No,
yet.
But if they don't pay him a lot more than what he's on, someone's going to come
and do it
and say, right, okay, you know, you're 2 years into the game, we'll offer you 5 or 6 years on $800,000 a year to get him out of there. They don't want to lose Taranto, so they'll start to
look at
a player.
So they're going to lose the Shield. They'll sacrifice Shield.
Well, it's not so much that that's the case, but it's more the case that Giants will say, well, look, we're going to pay you $700,000 because that's all we can afford to pay, and clubs can then come in over the top and offer him $900,000. I mean, you're the list manager. Am I sort of on the mark about the
juggle? You're spot on. And that's
you know who they paid Lob too much? That was last year when he was flying. Mm-hmm. So there's one they've paid too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they had to do that was because of the interest from the two Western Australian clubs that to protect them, to keep him. And this is the Giants' problem, is that they're always under attack from opposition clubs because they've got so much young talent coming in.
Top-end talent.
And they've got to keep them or guard against losing them by paying some of the younger guys overs.
Well, Shield's the one with the warning sirens around his head, apparently.
Why?
Because he could be the one, because he's from down here.
Yes,
well,
he is.
A lot of them are
Caulfield grammar boy.
And he's married to Mark Williams.
I'm not sure whether
he's
married.
Just girlfriend. It hasn't elevated that quickly.
Jeez. I thought I'd say
that. Not quite nuptial.
Married, I mean, in a sense that he's been in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, he's had a girlfriend, Mark Williams' daughter, for a long time.
And Mark Williams lives down here, so there's family ties.
You don't always want to be close to the...
keep away from the in-laws.
Anyway, that's the whispers out there.
Because Josh Kelly and Jacob Hopper were re-signed last year.
Mm-hmm.
So...
You've got Toby Green, you've got...
Jeremy Cameron's on a bomb.
Yeah, Whitfield, they're probably still paying.
Patton,
Ward, Scully.
Yeah, there's a few there.
Yeah, it's easy. You understand
but
the squeeze?
I think they haven't balanced the books well.
That's a lot of really good players.
I want to know what's happening at the Cats with their books balancing with Dan Menzel. Wow. We'll talk about that after the break. 12-8, Scotty Gullins with us from the Herald Sun with all the latest news in footy on The Breakfast Club.
Welcome aboard The Breakfast Club.
Look, if there's validity in this report, and there probably is, I suspect, someone didn't just make it up, then the more pertinent discussions are had between the player's manager, Adam Ramanauskas, in this situation, and St Kilda's list manager and footy manager. I mean, the coaches are often, as Richo said, the last to know. I mean, I don't know about it, but I guess my suspicion is that Dan will stay with us, Richo.
That was Chris Scott. He coaches the Cats. He loves the AFL ladder predictor on the website. His brother, not so much, as it turns out.
Maybe he's doing it for his brother.
That was on AFL 360.
Since through the results.
You're probably
hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Can you shoot through the results?
You're probably right. Fox Footy AFL 360 yeah. last night talking about Dan Menzel. Now, one of our mates, our Media 11 colleagues, Tommy Morris, was all over this story as well on Fox Sports. That St Kilda are coming and coming hard.
Funny, Alan Richardson on that show later on said, "Oh yeah, the coach is the last to know." Well, that's a complete fib,
Alan,
because they have
Alan.
They have monthly or fortnightly list meetings.
Well, they say it all the time. When you ask them about a player, "Oh, that's for our list management group, which we're a part of."
You chair the meetings, but no, Dan Menzel. Anyway, Dan Menzel. All St Kilda will have to do, because his status, Jim, is what again? Unrestricted?
It'd be 10 years.
One of them.
Yeah, well, he's in the free agency.
Basically, if he gets a multiple-year deal from anyone, my feeling is he'd go, because Geelong have it. And I'm not blaming Geelong. I mean, he has had knee, and he's near 30, so they've just gone one year.
Mm.
But if someone reaches out and says, "Here's two with option for three with mega incentives," I think Dan Menzel will go.
Of course. He's been in the system for so long. We know he struggles with, obviously, the ACLs. He's actually got to get some cash reward for his hard work and some job security. He can't keep doing the 1 year. If someone doesn't have to go overpaying.
No. He's getting unders now. He's 150.
150.
Which is like playing for $1.50 in this day.
That's not
age.
Chris Scott said he was.
That's not
well
true.
Paid.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. The
RSN sources.
RSN understands. Yes. Perhaps that's not entirely the case.
Yes.
Let's broaden it out a little bit, because Dan Hannabury is a part of this discussion.
Sorry, can I just finish the Menzel thing?
Yes.
If you're another club, you only have to offer him multiple years, 2 years. You don't have to pay overs, and because of his free agency status, whether it's restricted. Geelong have the right to match it. So they probably won't, because they said they don't want to give more than one year.
Deal, yep.
And if he's unrestricted, either way, it's not going to cost the club a pick. So if I'm another club, he's a two-goal game. He doesn't cost you a pick, and you're not breaking the bank at all.
I don't get this. I didn't get it last year, and I don't get it this year. He kicked 40 goals last year, 40 goals 16. And this year, he's been injured.
Well, they stuck a needle in the wrong spot.
Yeah, but he still kicked 23 goals at 2.3 goals a game from his 10 games. He's not a star, but he's a very dangerous forward that should be, A, worth more than 150 a year, and B, definitely worth multiple years.
Right, then let me ask you. You list manager types?
All of you.
Is he what St Kilda need? Throw in Dan Hannabury, who the other suggestion is that they will be chasing with their first pick swap, pick four for 13 or whatever it might be. How they end up. And maybe a sweetener. Is Hannabury and Menzel what they need?
Well, Menzel kicks the ball very straight.
Well, even though it's around corners, yes. I get
and no one at that football club does. Oh, absolutely. I mean, their forward line at the moment is Memory, McCartan when he's there.
Grisham.
Well, Bruce, and they haven't got because he's a good mark for his size, that in-between smart person. Mm. And he ticks all those boxes to me. Dan Hannabury, do you sell the farm for him? We had this discussion, I think, last week. I wouldn't sell the farm for Dan Hannabury, but they seem obsessed by it.
But you have
They're not selling the farm. If this report today by your Sammy Lensberger is correct, they're not really selling the farm, because they would swap 3, 4, or 5, wherever they finish.
Yes.
For Sydney's first round pick,
13.
Which is presently 13. And it's effectively they are costing pick 20 or 21 in terms of the points value with that swap.
I don't mind that.
That's a pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned. Sydney upgrade their pick. St Kilda slide down a little bit. The only one in the top 58.
But Sydney, Sydney don't have to do a win-win deal.
Exactly.
Because he's another 2 years contracted.
Exactly.
But maybe they're okay with it.
No, you don't have to do... Sydney aren't doing this deal until it is completely stacked in their favour.
But maybe they're okay with it, Jim.
Maybe they want to clear to the negative
space. Why would
I can't answer these questions, but they... answer...
But stop throwing, why would it be okay?
You've got to do hypotheticals. What if they're happy with it?
No, but then, that's the point. They're not happy with it because they don't have to do it.
How do you know?
What if Dan says, "I want to go home"?
What if Dan says?
I just go, that's a contract that you signed and here for 2 years.
What if they're like me and think 2 years of injuries, maybe we got the best out of him when he was 22, he's now 28. Mm. A bit smelly.
Yeah, but you've already...
You get pick four.
But there's and already,
you get pick four
And
for
a sweetener somewhere.
And you've already announced it. You want, this is a bit like Lockie Weller and going to the Gold Coast, and the CEO comes out and goes, we've guaranteed he's coming. Well, you just sit there as free and go, I'm just going to keep waiting until they give me something that is above what it is.
And that's exactly right. Sydney might want him out, but if he's got 2 years left on a contract on you know, he's on good, very, very good money, they can sit back and go, if you want Dan Hanbury, I don't even care really whether Dan Hanbury wants to go. Hmm. Come and knock on my door when you've got a serious offer. Otherwise, he can stay. And then if Hawthorn or Essendon or someone else comes and says, hey, you know, there's a lot of talk about Dan Hanbury here. What if we offered this? Would you be interested in that? Mm. Well, now he's starting to talk seriously.
Yeah, but maybe, as I'm saying, maybe they're happy. Maybe with a sweetener. So,
but even if they are happy, they got to pretend they're not happy.
But you're almost answering it. They'll be happy with whatever club paying overs.
That's
my point being is, it's not going to be, oh, Sydney will be happy and St Kilda will be happy and look at us, we'll all go have a coffee together.
We know that. They're going to...
So what are you two saying then?
No, we're saying this. We're saying that they might want him out. They might want to put him out, Jim.
Yes, they'll put
him
out.
They might want to free up their salary cap. They get pick four with a sweetener. No. Things are on their terms. They're happy.
What were they doing for pick four? To shuffle from 13 to 4?
Yeah, but you're not even swapping picks. This whole pick four for pick 13.
But you've shuffled up the order significantly.
No, you keep your pick 13.
But isn't the question more about, is really, should St Kilda be doing this?
Well, this is my question. Yeah. My original one. Is that what
and
we
I,
want?
But I think
that's right.
We're going back to my question.
Yeah, but I think that's... I
say no.
My personal view is that where St Kilda's at the moment, they actually need to get good young talent in. Now, the problem for that is that they don't have much to give up to get two or three picks inside 20 to go down that path. So, they got Caulfield and Clark last year, two top 10 picks for their midfield.
Yep.
They need to actually get more good young talent in, but I don't know how they're going to get it.
On leadership, though, they need a bit of leadership. They have zero.
That is absolutely true.
So if Hanbury's seen as a leader,
stop it,
which we think he is, it's seeming like he had a bit of, he enjoyed the good times for a while there, but he's matured.
He's been part of the Sydney culture.
Yeah.
The Bloods.
Yeah. So if you're going after leadership, tick, premiership success, tick, good player, injury issues, but...
Go after it, but it's going to cost them a lot more. This is not going to be win-win as you go, oh, geez, that was fair trade.
Of course
trade.
It's not going to be win-win. No. But me and Daniel's son over here never said that.
You're the only one that's one of the win-win, or not one of it.
The other part of it is, why would Hanbury want to go to St Kilda?
Because he's close to home. Yeah.
I don't want a win-win if I'm Sydney.
No, you want to finish in front. We didn't
who said that?
You did, Jimmy, we'll go and change the world and we'll make really successful footy teams and they can...
I doubt
it. We were reading out what...
I doubt it. Not the way you're carrying on today.
I'm picking your statement apart here.
You've joined The Breakfast Club.
I've sort of asked him, he's got to train this week and see how he goes, but cliche again, but it's a week-to-week sort of thing with him, which it is. So I think once he sort of trains this week, we'll get a bit better idea.
Eagles match winner Jeremy McGovern talking about Josh Kennedy and giving him some hope of playing this weekend against the D's on Sunday at Optus Stadium. Scotty Gullen's stuck around because he's got more news to get through with us from the Herald Sun. And you are suggesting, Scotland, that Kennedy is out.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play this week. We might be the last round just before finals time. So
come back, miss a week, ready for finals.
Correct, then have another freshen up.
Wasn't he named about 4 weeks ago to play and was a late withdrawal with this injury and hasn't played since?
Yes.
That is correct.
Neil Baum over there.
The interesting one with West Coast is Scott Lysett and the interest that he's attracting from St Kilda and a couple of other clubs. With the fact now that Nick Natanui's not there, they're still chasing Lysett hard.
Yep.
And then the spillover from that, I know Steve had this on Channel 7 last night about Roughhead, Jordan Roughhead might be someone that becomes of interest because there aren't a lot of ruckmen around and that there could be a reshuffle. But even the Bulldogs don't necessarily have a ruckman.
Well, Geelong
Tom Campbell plays like Polly Farmer every week in the VFL and can never get a game.
They've moved past him.
Surprised Steve-O had the Western Bulldogs exclusive there. while we're talking about players missing and coming back for the finals, Kane Lambert.
Well, for the first
Dan Butler,
time.
What's going on?
There's a sniff of injury crisis, not really. But Kane Lambert's been outstanding and he played out the game with felt his ankle, a bit dodginess, and then they whipped him in for surgery straight away. So he won't play the last 2 weeks, but then they'll freshen him up for finals, given they've got another week. So it's a three, really, week. And Butler, Dan Butler, had surgery on Friday. So around the peripheral, there's a couple little Tiger niggles. But not that it's really
stopping. No, none to their stars. No. Or big stars.
Well, yeah. Well, Lambert's on nearly one, but...
Yeah, I'm talking about the big four. The big boys.
Which team's played the fewest number of players, do you reckon, in the competition?
Good question. Not Richmond, because they've played a few youngsters. I would say to you...
West Coast. No.
It would be...
Melbourne. I'm trying to... Geez, you've got
it's not Geelong. They've played heaps.
I'll tell you, the Kangaroos.
Yeah, of course.
Kangaroos.
They don't blood anyone.
Were you going to say kangaroos?
Yeah, you didn't ask me.
Well, you did, didn't I? I asked everyone.
On radio, you're allowed to just throw
I didn't say Scott and Jim. I said, which club? This is going bad.
Now, Daisy, what's happening with Daisy at the Blues? Bound by Blue?
Hashtag? Well, given how bad they are, they think Daisy can go one more year.
Daisy's been badness. Okay, must be said.
Well, that's what. Yeah, to his credit. And it's not like they've got a overload of leadership and other things. So physically, he stood up. Game-wise, he stood up. So got no issue in Daisy staying to help.
It's a good effort. 31.
He's not
36. It's actually a really good comeback from Daltons.
Oh, he was gone.
Yep.
But the moment he said, have half my money back, I think he got a lot of goodwill, and he's then proved himself physically.
Yep, played pretty well.
Absolutely.
Played pretty well. And what about Hawthorn's white jumper? What's Jeff done?
Jeff writes a letter to the members every now and again when he remembers. And about three quarters of the way through yesterday's version, which started with Clarko's a genius, you know, their on and off love. Well, the love's on again.
Yes.
Oh, he's a genius. We're going well. Oh, by the way, remember when we wore that white? Never again. Surrender, he calls it. White jumper means surrender. It's and we don't surrender at Hawthorn. We fight. So it's in the waste bin.
So what's the alternate jumper now? They're going the Power Rangers one?
To his credit, he said...
He made a very good point.
Yeah, what clashes?
What clashes with brown and gold?
He goes, nothing. So,
I mean, the clubs that want the light and the dark jumper... But the reality is that the Hawthorn one, which predominantly is gold, is the light. So they can just reverse it, which they have done in the past where they've had the brown with the yellow stripes or the gold stripes. That's their dark. They don't need a white one.
Your club's the one who has to act. I mean, seriously.
What? Jeff just done this. What are you talking about?
No, your...
Hashtag?
No, your Bamboo discount blue. Car park place that you now hang out at. That light blue... Is it blue or grey?
Dirty sock one.
Stonewash.
Yeah.
I don't normally get. I know a lot of people get emotional about this, but that one I looked up the other night.
Stay tuned.
Ding ding ding! Exclusive, world exclusive.
Stay tuned.
Hang on, this is in the whisper. I reckon.
Stay tuned.
Carlton are going to ditch the horrible jumper.
Stay tuned. That's all I'll say.
Wow.
Hashtag Bound by Blue. Nice work, Scotty. Always nice to catch up with you.